Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word, Book of John today. You know, the disciple that Christ loved. John means in the Hebrew tongue, Yahweh's gift. That's what it means in the Greek tongue also. But Christ would use this particular John to not only do the Gospel of John, but to do the epistles of John, and even to do the great book of Revelation, meaning the unveiling. So he used him tremendously in bringing forth the very word of God. Now, as far as the Gospels go, the book of John presents Christ as God. If you've ever had trouble trying to figure out the triune Godhead, the book of John should straighten it out for you, because he makes it so simple a child can understand. Remember that Matthew brought Christ forward as King of Israel, and then Mark would bring Christ forward as the servant of Yahweh. And then we would have Luke, who would bring Christ forward as the correct man, the good man, the ideal man, as an example to us of how a man should react, what a man should do. But then, again, this gives it away. John presents Christ as God. And let's get right into it, and you'll understand as we go. It's a fantastic book. And like I said, if you've had trouble understanding the triune Godhead, John will fix it for you with clarity, with understanding, and the smoothness which God's truth brings forth. Chapter 1, verse 1, great book of John. In the beginning was the Word. Now, this word was means pre-existed. It's archaic. I mean, from a long, long time ago. The very word was at that time. This is like the very first verse of chapter 1, the great book of Genesis. And the word was with God. And listen carefully. And the word was God. That's his word is the law. It is your comforter. It is your counsel. It's the way things are going to be. And that's what makes it so beautiful, is when you stick to the Word, God takes care of His own. I don't care how many troubles there are in the world. If you stick to the Word, His advice, through, I'm talking about the complete Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, it will always see you through. So it's important that you remember the last segment, and the Word was God. It's important that you remember that. Verse 2. The same what? The Word. The same was in the beginning with God. And so it was. The Spirit. This is why when you read chapter 1 of the great book of Genesis and the word and precedes almost every verse, it's called a polysyndeton, which means it means a great deal more than is said. What it means is when you see that and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, moved, in other words, formed, brought forth, that's God's Word in action. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He spoke and nothing became everything. You know, man can whittle out a few things, but he's got to take God's material to build it. God has made everything. God has made it possible for us to accomplish whatever it is we wish to accomplish, as long as you go by His Word. A sister chapter that you might read on this same subject is where wisdom speaks in Proverbs chapter 8. Before the earth was, wisdom was with God also, because all wisdom, true wisdom, comes from Him. But God made all things. So, you see, then who should you look to for blessings? Naturally, He who made all things. Because He didn't make all things and quit. He's eternal. So naturally, when you have a need, He that made everything watches over you. Because you see, who did He make it for? He made it for you. He made it for His children so that they could be happy, so they could have life. And by that I mean life eternal. Next verse, please. Verse 4. In Him was life, and that does mean eternal life. And the life was the light of men. He was the tree of life, the very tree of life in the garden. And being that light, that if you have darkness in your life, He is the light. I'm talking about Christ now, the Word. When you have our Heavenly Father in your life, there is no darkness because the example of that, why would He use this terminology? Well, if you have an extremely dark room and you only have one little candle, when you light that little candle, it goes to every corner of that room. It brings light. And so it is that when God's light is present, Satan can't gain anything. Because the light itself is what gives you life. And that is to say life eternal. Verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The darkness cannot extinguish it. The darkness cannot overcome it. Quite the contrary, the light overcomes the darkness. Just the same as all the lies that God spews forth in the world today. God's Word is the light. And it shines on the lies and the false teachings that Satan brings forth, whereby you can see that truth. And so it is that that truth is so prevalent. Again, nothing can stop it. When you have the common sense that God brings forth and gives as His gift, that's true wisdom to understand the things of this world. What a gift it is. Verse 6. There was a man sent. He was sent, that is to say. He didn't, it's important you know, he didn't volunteer. He wasn't just something that happened by chance. God sent him. Okay. He was sent from God, whose name was John. Now, this is not the Apostle John. This is John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was the child of Elizabeth and Zacharias the priest, a Levitical priest, and would be a cousin to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's brought forth here in this particular spot. He would be 6 months older than Christ, as you figure by the course of Abia in the great book of Luke, chapter 1, giving you the date of Christ's birth and John's birth. And this one, John was a miracle child, as Christ was a miracle child, only John was the forerunner and Christ was Messiah, the Savior, one that saves you, the one that extinguishes any darkness. But it's important that you know, God chooses. When God needs something done, He sends a man. He sends a woman. So this was a sent one. Verse 7. The same came for a witness. What was His purpose? A witness to bear witness of the light. That's to say of Christ. That all men through Him might believe. That all could qualify and believe and understand the life. That is to say the tree of life, which is to say the Lord Jesus Christ. He's that voice that was crying in the wilderness. Verse 8. He was not that light. He was not Messiah. But He was sent to bear witness of that light. Again, He didn't volunteer. This is all God's doing, which means you can trust it. You can just, as sure as the sun will come up tomorrow, that's how it is. You can trust it. It will be exactly that way. Verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That is to say, every man that believes when they come into this world age, this age of flesh man. If you believe, that light is there for you. And God does not place, He is not a particular person to one man over another. If He sends somebody, they earn the right to, in the first earth age, to achieve that, and He does not mind sending them. Okay. Verse 10, to continue. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That spirit that moved upon the waters, that spirit that moved upon the light, that spirit that moved throughout the universe and placed everything in its perfect place. Little old man down on earth, they wouldn't receive Him. They had to have their own little way, and so it is. Man can be so obstinate, and man can be so imperfect in his decisions. Verse 11, He came unto His own folk, and His own received Him not. This is to say, Israel kind of turned on Him. Part of it did, not all. Verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. His name being Yeshua. Yeshua being Yahweh's Savior. And He gives power what? That power is awesome. That if you believe, that power automatically comes into your life. And when it says you become sons of God, it is folk, all right, but it means God's ownership. God claims you. You're His. And He can use you if you're open to Him, if you're pliable. If you're hard-headed and set in your way and not pliable, He cannot use you. But as long as you listen to Him, as long as you let Him form you, as you let Him lead you, then He can use you and you become a child of the living God. Not of Satan, not of the world, but a child of light. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this means born from above. And we'll explain this more in depth when we come to chapter 3. That's why this book of John is so perfect. It doesn't leave you lacking knowledge. Not born of blood and or water, but born from above. Not as those that would come from above as fallen, but to do it God's way and be born from above. That is to say, as many people would say, born again, which is not as it is properly translated. How beautiful the word of God. Okay. Verse 14, listen carefully. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the reason I told you to remember that the Word was with God, the Word was from the beginning, the Word was God, then if the Word becomes flesh, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, you are seeing Emmanuel, as Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 stipulates, God with us, being the interpretation of Emmanuel. So here you have a guarantee of understanding the Godhead. God saw fit if He asked you to come here in the flesh. He did it Himself. And He, in other words, you could not see God. He's in a different dimension. But then being born of woman, the only begotten is what that means, you could see Him. As a matter of fact, in the 14th chapter of this book, God will say, or Christ will say, if you've seen Me, you've seen God. So you see, this takes away any room for doubt or disbelief, but to see the full love of God for His children, that He would see fit, you know. And this word grace means unmerited favor. When you love Him and believe, even though sometimes we make mistakes, He gives you that unmerited. You didn't deserve it, but He gives it to you because He is our Father, and He loves those that believe upon Him. Never let anyone confuse you as to what the Word is. The Word became flesh. That's why Christ is the living Word and walked among us, was with us. He brought us the Gospels. He brought us the truth. And that was God Himself delivering it, whereby we are without excuse as far as not understanding if you simply listen, if you follow the Scripture chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and let God speak. How beautiful it is. Let's go with the next verse, verse 15. John, this is John the Baptist, John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after Me is preferred before Me, for He was before Me. Can you absorb that? Well, how could John say that Christ was before Him? Because it was God was before Him. Our Heavenly Father was before Him. There's no great mystery there. Let it flow over the buds of your mind and understand the presence of God and God's grace. Verse 16, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. It's just grace, unmerited favor after unmerited favor. You know, as long as you believe and love Him and try, I don't care how many times you stumble, how many times you feel you fall short, He touches and He blesses. And He forgives over and over again and again. That's grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, the law brings death. I mean, you know, a man cannot basically live by the law because you can't obey every last one of them without tripping up somewhere. But this grace, which is unmerited favor, and truth. What is, I want to stop just a moment and ask you, what is truth? I like to think of truth as reality. What is before us that man cannot change? Truth is the reality of God's presence and what it stands for. Truth is not concealing. Truth will never conceal anything. Truth brings everything out in the open. It's reality. This is why you must always face reality and responsibility in life if you want His blessings. Grace after grace, forgiveness after forgiveness. It is His gift to you to participate. And I will say one more time, what is truth? It's reality. This is why I call Christianity not a religion, but a reality. It's the real thing. And He is real, we are real, and we take responsibility. But the truth will not conceal anything. I could even use the title of the great book of Revelation, which means to reveal everything. Why is truth? You can't, you know, from a real scholar, you cannot hide the truth that is written in the book of Revelation. Because it's not concealing, it's revealing. And that's what truth is. Verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He led the way. Why can we not see God? Because He's in a different dimension, period. But He saw fit. You know, I want you to grasp the love that is in that. He did not have to be born of woman. He made everything. He created everything. He's all powerful. This was a time to test you in this world age to see whether you would choose God or Satan. He didn't have to come down and be crucified, to be nailed to a cross, or to suffer the beatings that He was given. But He loves you enough that He did it for you, showing you how that one can be perfect. But to show you mainly how much He loves you. But He didn't ask you to do something He couldn't do Himself, only He did it great. He did it perfect. So He doesn't want anything concealed from you. He wants you to see how much He loves you and how much that He would lead the way. You see, do you understand what it means to lead the way? It leaves you not wanting for anything if you'll follow the way. He is the way. He is the path. And there's nothing unknown in that. It's reality. So all you have to do is follow. That's why He came here. That's why He did this, so that you would have that leadership. And maybe man will let you down and will never make a leader. But He was leader of leaders. Verse 19. And this is the record of John the Baptist now. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" I mean, John's out here baptizing thousands. He's pulling them out of the synagogues, right out of the churches of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And these mucky ducks downtown, they've sent out, they want to know, who is this man and what is his message? Verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And naturally he wasn't. "I'm not Messiah. I'm not the anointed one." Verse 21, and they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias? Are you Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" Which means Elijah. And he answered, "No." Now, if you're a student of God's word, you know that in the first chapter of the great book of Luke, it is written concerning John the Baptist that he came in the spirit of Elijah, which means what? Announcing the way, a voice crying from the wilderness, turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers, plural, meaning Satan's children are going to be turned to him and God's children to the true Father. But this he only came in the spirit of Elijah. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 11, I believe it is, I know it is, Christ would say he would have been Elijah if you had believed him. They didn't believe him. They cut his head off. And they didn't believe Christ, they crucified him. So that's why we have a second advent. And God knew there would be a second advent, because that's why, as it is written in the minor prophets, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 is the first advent, and verse 10 is the second. From the Old Testament, God knew. He knows his children pretty well overall. And how he loves those that love him. How he loves those that follow him, that trust him. It makes all the difference to him. So, do you ever, if anyone ever tells you that John the Baptist was Elijah, just remember this verse. He says, "No, I am not." Verse 22. Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" What? How do you have the ability to draw all these people? You're emptying out our churches. You've got something. Who are you? And naturally, he was a sent one. He was sent by the living God. Verse 23, and he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." That's to say Isaiah. Who is he talking? What verse is he talking about? He's talking about chapter 40, the great book of Isaiah. You see, this is the beauty of God's Word. He doesn't leave you wanting. He lets you know way before the fact what's going down. Why? Because it's the truth. And what is the truth? It's reality. It's not concealing. It's not going to hide anything from you. If you'll open your eyes, and if you will look, chapter 40, verse 1, great book of Isaiah or Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I thumped her gourd. Verse 3, and here we go. This is what John was saying. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In other words, you allow him to bring forth that truth, that reality, where every man has the opportunity to see the truth. This is why God has sent ones, is that that truth can be heard everywhere, that truth of salvation, of grace unto grace, that is to say, unmerited favor after unmerited favor, because God loves his children. Well, how many children did God create? Every living soul is a child of God or a child of Satan, one father or the other. It's according to what you believe that makes you a child of one or the other. It's according to whether you're in light or whether you're in darkness. Verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. God's going to make it easy for everybody, smooth and level, whereby everybody can understand the reality of his truth, of his understanding, from that voice that was crying in the wilderness, to announcing the coming, the messenger announcing the coming of the true Messiah, and that true Messiah being the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to go one more verse. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. They'll see him. And all flesh, how many again was that? All flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, and it is a fact. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of a field. And so it is. It fades sometimes. But not when you have the truth. There is nothing that fades about the honor and the pleasure of serving the living God. To have his presence, his touch in your life. You know, he went through a great deal to make this easy for you. Not necessarily easy in the sense that some might think, but to know always in trusting him, you're going to make it through. You're going to overcome. There may be some rough paths. Why? He doesn't deal too much with hothouse lilies. He likes flowers that can withstand, that do not wilt at the first opposition that comes along. Christ did not wilt. He did not send for a band of angels when they nailed him to a cross to take him down. He did it for you. That salvation is present today to illuminate this world with light. For he is that tree of life that gives us life. And I speak of eternal life. Don't miss the next lecture. Bless your heart. You listen a moment. Won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular individual, religion, denomination. We don't judge people. We have a judge. It's our Father. And he does not need our help. As a matter of fact, it's a sin for man to judge. But it is the duty of man to serve. I want to take this opportunity to thank Dennis for having brought us the books of Samuel and enjoyed my break away. And we're back and we're going to do this book of John. Now, if you have a prayer request, you don't need to call the number. If you that listen by shortwave around the world, you don't have to write a letter. He knows what you're thinking. If you've got a prayer request, all you have to do is make it known to him. He is the truth, and the truth is non-concealing. He won't hide from you. He is there for you. Let him know that you're there for him. Father, around the world, we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, question time. Let's go with Gary from California. God made man, male and female, but he had not made Adam and Eve yet. God did not make Adam and Eve until after the seventh day. That is correct. That is Eth Adam in the Hebrew tongue. My question is, what does the Bible say? Why does the Bible say Eve is the mother of all living? Well, that throws some people. But stop and think. Why did God bring forth Adam and Eve? Because through them would come Christ, Messiah. In other words, from umbilical cord to umbilical cord, Eve would bring forth Messiah. He that gives eternal life, or you don't have life. If you don't have eternal life, you're dead. You're not only dead at death, but you're spiritually dead when you walk the ground alive. So there's only one true life, and that's in Messiah. That's why it is so written. Mary from Wisconsin. I do have one personal question. I have a friend who has told me to go to hell 3 times. That's not a friend. Why would you call somebody that told you to go to hell 3 times a friend? You need to know how to choose friends, okay? Let's continue. Since last summer, she has never read the Bible. She is truthful about that. Is that a sin on her part? It has left me in tears. I've shared the gospel with her, and it goes nowhere. I've not spoken to her in months. What do you suggest? Well, I think you're doing the right thing. Why would you want to cast your pearls before swine? I want you to get a Webster's Dictionary, and I want you to look up the word friend, and I want you to see what the definition of a friend is, and then pick your friends carefully. Liz from Virginia. Pastor Murray, I heard you say the Antichrist reign will be 5 months. Please clarify for me. I thought that would be 3.5 years. A false prophecy, then 3.5 years. Horrible reign, the Antichrist trying to set up his kingdom, temple in Jerusalem. Well, you're not following the gospel, though. In Mark chapter 13, Christ said, for the elect's sake, when the Antichrist comes, I've shortened the time. He didn't say, maybe I'm going to shorten the time. He didn't say, perhaps I will shorten the time. He said, for the elect's sake, I will shorten the time, else there would be no flesh saved. He did that for us. And then as you continue to study, in the great book of Revelation in chapter 9, there you find out it's shortened to a 5-month period. Selma from Ohio. I just completed a study of the Stone of Scone, where it says the stone now resides in Westminster Abbey. Now, studying Genesis 28:18, the Companion Bible says that the stone is not the coronation stone in London. No, it doesn't. It says in Genesis 28 that it's the stone that was the pillar for Jacob when he would name that place and be blessed. It was a special stone. It opened up the very scope to heaven for him and later would be carried by our people. So it does not say it was not, okay? I am confused. You sure are. Please comment. And you said the scone is in stone. Scone. The stone is in scone. Where is it? Well, do you know where scone is? Do you not read the news? Naturally, it's not in Westminster Abbey. It has been. Every king and queen up to this date, the coronation took place over that stone. But the stone actually belongs to Scotland. In Scotland. In the city of Scone. And the Scots got all excited and demanded that the stone be returned, and so it is. Which fulfills prophecy. It is said that that stone would be overturned, overturned, and overturned, and then Christ would return, basically. It has happened. Dixie from Arkansas. When we die, our spirit goes straight to heaven, so why do we have the resurrection? Well, what do you think the resurrection is? Take your Strong's Concordance, look up the word resurrection. It has three meanings. To raise to a higher level of thinking, believing on Christ will do that for you. Standing for Him will resurrect you to a higher level of living. And to die and go with the Father, that is resurrection also. But this is a strange thing. When you die in your spirit, which with your spirit body, goes directly to heaven, that is resurrection for you. This is why it's written in the scripture that confuses so many people about the so-called rapture doctrine, which is false. They say, we who are alive and remain cannot precede the dead. That they have to rise first. Why? Because they're already gone. They've already resurrected. That's why. Gwen from Alabama. Pastor, please give me scripture where I can find that I will know my family members. One of the most asked questions. Ezekiel chapter 40 at the end has to do with the millennium. And you find in chapter 44, verse 25, that if you have a mother, brother, sister, father, a blood relative, a sister unmarried, I should say, that maybe needs a little help, didn't make it over to fully to salvation, you can help them if you're one of God's elect. Naturally, if you can go help them, you have to be able to recognize them. We were created in the image of God and the angels. So people look as they look. Joyce from Wisconsin. If you only read the Bible and don't go to church, how will you go to heaven? Well, let me think. What does it require to go to heaven? Where is that scripture that says it is the church that sends you to heaven? I've never read that scripture. Well, wonder why I have never read the scripture, it is the church that sends you to heaven. Because it isn't written. It is not the church that decides whether you go to heaven or not. It is Almighty God Himself. And unfortunately, there are some churches that you would not quite make heaven if you do as they say. You might even worship the Antichrist. Be that as it may, I'm not trying to offend anyone. But, Joyce, it is not written that the church gives salvation. Christ does. Tina from Georgia. Pastor, I'm 9 years old. Please tell me, how did we get our last names? Well, it is... Your first name, of course, is your given name, but we are tribes and peoples. Our last names determine our inheritance, where we belong, who we are, and when you trace it way back into history, then certainly your name can mean your last name can mean a great deal, and so it is. This is why that you always the Irish are quite handy when you hear Mac in the Gaelic tongue means son of MacDonald means son of Donald. So Donald had a lot of sons. And so it is with in all peoples everywhere. Your name is your birthright. Your last name is your birthright. So it's very important. It's something you want to honor and take care of and keep it honest. Whereby when your name is mentioned, they know you can be trusted because you have a good reputation. Jan from Illinois. My husband has recently passed away. He was a Christian. I know his soul went to heaven, but where is his body right now? I know that it is in the ground, but does his body go with him to heaven, or does it join later? No, I want you to read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Our flesh body is organic matter. It goes back to organic substance from whence it came. It goes back to dirt. He has, and you have, a beautiful spiritual body that doesn't age, it doesn't get old, doesn't wither, doesn't get sick. So when we're through with these flesh bodies, we shed them and put them off, and they go back to the dirt from whence they came. Again, your scripture is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. He is in his beautiful spiritual body, and you will join him someday in your spiritual body. Rebecca from West Virginia. If you wrong someone and you apologize to them and you ask God for forgiveness, will you be forgiven? Because they won't forgive me. Well, God has forgiven you and you've apologized. Sometimes once we disappoint people, you have to earn that respect back. So don't be pushy and just expect someone to forgive. If you wrong somebody, they want to see you document that they'll forgive. But before you get that trust, you've got to build it back. So be patient. But at the same time, if they abuse you in that, then you need to think that over again also. Elizabeth from California. Is Satan going to put obstacles in our way when Christ comes? He may try. It won't do him any good. My family members, when they talk, every word is a bad word. Should I keep trying to talk to them? Well, blood is thicker than water, and there are some. You might set an example later, even like we were talking about earlier in the millennium, as it's written in Ezekiel 44, verse 25. To be able to even help them then. But don't preach at them. If you planted a seed, you cannot make it grow. But it is true that even family itself will, when the Antichrist comes, who is it that delivers the daughter up to Satan? Which is to say, delivers the daughter up to death. That's Satan's name. The mother does. Why? Because she really thinks he's Christ. Love is a strange thing, but love and family. But God's on the throne. He has a purpose. You hang up. You're doing good. Dennis, what do you teach about being born again? Dennis, it doesn't say where he's from. I tell you what, when we get to the third chapter of this book of John, and we'll be there just in a day or two, you're going to find out. You see, the manuscripts do not say born again. The manuscripts say born from above. And there's a very specific reason for that. Samantha from Illinois. I want to know, when it talks about nations in the Bible, is that talking about churches? No, absolutely not. When you see nations plural, it is all nations aside from Israel. Israel can be called a nation if it's singular. But nations plural is ethnos, which our word ethnic comes from, ethnic peoples, or as some would call Gentiles. So that's what it's talking about. Whether it's in the Greek or the Hebrew, the meaning being basically the same. Ernest from Connecticut. Is the satellite still working on Galaxy 416? And the answer is yes. 24 hours, 7 days a week. We're beaming that signal out. Anytime you watch us on any television set, it's coming out from that particular satellite. That is our home in the sky. This is... Armel, I'm going to say. Does the Word tell us anywhere about our leaders being held responsible for what they do to their subjects? Maybe some verses. I would recommend Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4, where it says, if you allow it, I'm going to like put children's minds over you. These children's minds will direct you. And I think maybe we're coming to pass there. I'll repeat it again, Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4. I am planning to move to Texas. I've been praying and asking for guidance, blessings for my Heavenly Father, but no confirmation so far. I always try to do His will. I am not sure what way to turn. If you feel led to do something, God's not going to move the state up where you are. Well, what then should I do? Well, you should go down, if you're going to try it, go down where the state is. Never burn any bridges behind you. That's what God does not want you to do. You need to make a little trip down, look it over, check it out. If it isn't right for you, God will let you know, and you've got a bridge that you can cross back over to. But don't burn all your bridges and go down. Make a trip, find out, and ask God's blessings, and He will always do that. Jim from Oklahoma, will the battle of Armageddon be of the people here on earth or by the Lord Jesus Christ and His angels against Satan and his fallen angels? Well, what does Armageddon mean when you properly translate it? Armageddon means a city of Megiddo, which means the gathering of the crowd, or the hill or mount of the gathering of the crowd. What crowd was it talking about? The enemies of Christ. So naturally, Armageddon and Haman Gog will be fought by our Father. Okay, and it will be against Satan and his children. We will not fight it. He has a purpose in doing that. See, they don't believe God exists. Boy, are they going to find out the hard way. He's the one that will do battle for them, and they haven't got a prayer. This is written to Dennis, and it's from Glenda from Nevada. I have two questions for you. First, you mentioned Lot and how God spared him, but I read that Lot's wife was turned to a pillar of salt. What was her name? And was it because she looked back when God ordered them? It's not because she only looked back. She wanted to go back to the perversion. And this was, where were they when this event took place? At the south end of the Dead Sea, where everything turns to salt. Okay. Last, what happens to the sins of one commits that can't be remembered? When you repent of all your sins, that's all of them. Whether you can remember them or not, that's good. Probably they weren't that serious or you would remember. So, but when you repent of all your sins, that's inclusive. You're in good shape. Not to worry. Deborah from Wisconsin. My only question is, if a person does not repent for their sins before they die, will their soul be tormented for eternity? That's why we have the millennium. And that's why God is the judge. It isn't for us to decide whether they will or not. We don't know what kind of life they had. Did they have an opportunity to know the truth? Maybe they never heard the actual truth. Therefore, they were led us. That's why God has the millennium, where they're in spiritual bodies, and they will there hear the truth. That's not a second chance. A lot of people never had a chance. R.M. from Indiana. If hell is being without God, and Jesus was in hell 3 days, was he without God? Hell is not without God. Do your translating properly. Hell in Hebrew is su'el. In Greek, usually Gehenna is used. It means a grape. Okay. And all Christ was in the tomb for 3 days. And hell does not even exist until Revelation chapter 20, which is a burning lake, and God is a consuming fire. Right now, the scriptures always translate hell or a sepulchre as grave, okay? I'm sorry, they pronounce grave or sepulchre as hell. Anna from Arkansas, I believe in miracles. I called a prayer request for January the 16th and for my brother Robert, and he came through January the 17th. He came out very well. Thank God in Shepherd's Chapel for your prayers, and that's good. We thank our Father, and God bless you. And we're out of time again. It's good to be back. Good to see you all again and be with you in God's Word. And I love you very much for a special reason. That's that you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most important, though, God loves you for it. It's the letter He sent to you to give you direction. So let Him know that you love Him every day. Won't you do that? We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? You bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, listen to me, listen good. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day. Why? Because Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word.